Good morning. How is everyone? It is good to be here. Why don't we pray and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. Dear God, we come to you right now and we thank you because you are good. Every time we take communion, we remember what Jesus did on the cross. We're reminded again of how good you are and how much you love us. And it's so appropriate that we do that and then we open your word and listen to you. Because we remember, God, that even as you tell us things that mess with our lives, that you do it because you love us. That you do it as a kind father who wants what is best for his children. So God, as we listen to Jesus' instructions today, God, I pray that you would help us remember the cross and remember what Jesus did. Remember the love that he has for us so that we would be willing to obey completely and surrender to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew. You can flip over to chapter 6 if you would like to. We'll get there momentarily. Actually, we're going to go somewhere else first. So if you go to Matthew 6, just put a finger there and we will return. What we're doing as we're going through Matthew is just letting Jesus talk to us and tell us what he wants for us. And in the middle of Matthew 6, Jesus starts talking about money, which is always a fun topic because we love it when people stick their hands in our wallets and tell us what to do with the money that we've earned. That's one of our favorite topics. So if you're sitting there going, why did I come to church today? Why? Pick the good one. This is, Jesus chose the topic, and he keeps talking about it, so we're going to be talking about it for the next several weeks. And as he talks about money, he teaches us how we can not just use our money in the way that we would want to, but rather he tells us how we can glorify God with our money, how we can use our money and the things that we have to make God look big and important and worthy. And today, if you look at Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus is going to start talking about money and idolatry. He's going to talk about how money becomes an idol. And if you say, well, wait a second, why are we mixing idolatry and money? What do those two topics have to do with each other? Well, it's because for most of us, most of the time, money and things are the idol, the biggest idol that we have in our lives. They're the thing that sits right in the center of our hearts, the thing that we work our lives around, the thing that we worship. So if you say, well, why is Jesus talking about money in relationship to idolatry? It's because money is a huge idol. And this isn't a new topic. This isn't something that Jesus is just kind of pulling out of his hat and introducing a new way of looking at money. Rather, it's a continuation of one of the oldest topics that God has talked to his children about from the very beginning of his time of relating to people, to mankind. Look back at Exodus. I said we were going to jump out of Matthew quickly. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Ten Commandments, we have seen them at other times, but just let's read this chunk. Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." And that's the definition of an idol. It's another god that takes the place of the true God. "So you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." So just a quick overview so that what Jesus is going to say about idolatry makes sense in the context. God is the great king of the universe. You see that even in this commandment. He's saying, I am the God, I am the Lord God, and with that goes, I am the great king of the universe. I am sovereign. I control everything. I am the one who created everything. I have always existed and will always exist. I am all powerful, and as such, the reason God's saying don't have any other gods before me is because he deserves all of our heart. And he deserves all of our worship. And he deserves all of our love and devotion. He deserves to be at the center of our hearts. And an idol is something that we put at the center of our hearts in God's place. So it could be a person, it could be yourself, it could be the person in the mirror, it could be that person who's next to you, it could be a thing or an activity, or your body or your mind, or a sport, or family, or anything can take the place of God in our hearts. We make it an idol when we put it at the center of our hearts, when we give it the love and the devotion and the attention that we should only give to God. When something is at the center of our lives, that is our idol. It's when we offer it sacrifices of our time and our thoughts and our affections and our possessions, when we love it, when we worship it. It's the thing that you're thinking about right now and you say, well, that's not a bad thing. The reason you're thinking that is because, no, whatever, most of the time our idols are not bad things. They're good things. I when we talk about this, I normally say my wife and my children are the two biggest candidates for, well, three, because two children, anyway. They're the biggest candidates for idols in my life, and they're not bad things. I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to hold them dear, but they shouldn't be at the center of my heart. An idol is that thing that we seek after over everything else. It's what we look for our happiness and our satisfaction and our peace and our security and our purpose in. And Jesus is going to teach us in the next few passages that money and possessions is a horrible god, is a horrible idol. It is a horrible thing to put in God's place. And if right now you're kind of checking out and saying, well, I'm not sure that money and possessions are that big of an idol for me. I don't think that is what I worship. I understand that because we tend to not see money and things as a god. We see them as necessities. We see them as things that will kind of make us happy, although we don't like to say that, but, you know, we know it. And even if we did see money and things as an idol that's fighting for the center of our hearts, we don't know how to not worship it or how to move it out of the center of our hearts. I mean, if you don't have money, you can't eat. So we can't just, you know, swear off money and things. We have to have a place to live and a thing to drive. And so how would we, even if it is would be an idol for us, how would we stop worshiping it? And over the next few passages, Jesus is going to help us. He's going to help us by helping us see the idolatry for things and money in our hearts. He's going to peel back the layers of protection that we put around our idols and show us this is how you being the collective us, how we worship money and things. This is what it looks like when we worship our stuff and when we put our stuff in God's place. And with each one, he'll say, this is how you can stop worshiping that and turn your affections more fully to the one who truly deserves your heart's devotion. So the big idea for the next 3 weeks, if you want to mark off how many weeks to miss because money is just like, don't tell me what to do with my money. Next 3 weeks, don't do that. The next 3 weeks, the big idea for the whole little mini-series is money and things are a bad God. That's what Jesus is going to be repeating over and over and over again. And the idea for this passage from today in Matthew 6:19 is that we put whatever it is that we accumulate, we put in our hearts. We put in our hearts whatever it is that we accumulate. Whatever we store up, whatever we accumulate, whatever we start building up a lot of, that's where our heart starts going. Whatever I accumulate in life tends to start living in the center of my heart. Let's read verse 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal." And if we stop there and would be tempted to think Jesus is just giving us advice, good investment advice, on how to store up true treasures. That's true, but it's even deeper than that. It goes to what we love. Look at verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever we store up on earth works its way to the center of our hearts. And so we tend to store up things, to accumulate things. And I don't like, I was going to just kind of bunch these next three passages together and talk about them all at once. And then it just dawned on me that that's not going to help me or us think about these deeply. And I would rather not think about this deeply because I really like the things that I accumulate. A painful personal example, I love guitars. I love playing guitars. And in my office, I've taken the doors off my closet. It is like a little, you know, pull-back door thing. And I have guitars set up there. And it's in the little amps to plug the guitars into. And it's just, it's beautiful. And there's like an array of guitars. And anyone who doesn't love guitars walks into my office. And I know what they think, because sometimes they say it. And I can see it on their face, too, when they don't say it. It's like, why so many? Why do you need? Do you really need all that different kinds of? I mean, there's only like five or six. And if you love guitars, you're like, oh, that's not that many. If you don't love guitars, you're like, well, man, more than one is like kind of overkill, isn't it? The problem is it bad to have five guitars? We could talk about that some other day. They're not expensive guitars. But anyway, I'm not going to defend my idol because that's what it turns out to be. Because as I accumulate these, they start working their way into the center of my heart. And inevitably, I start loving them. I said painful confession, more for me than for you. But anyway, so we tend to accumulate things, whether it's money, we're always putting away, you know, like the squirrels putting away their nuts. We always are putting away money, and we feel bad when we haven't put any away. Or maybe it's possessions, properties. I need more. I can't have enough. As I was typing this, I looked on my desk. I actually have four really cheap, because I lose them all the time, four wedding rings, like $20. I mean, they're really cheap because I lose them because they just, and you know, anyway, four rings right in front of where I was typing. I was like, yes, we do accumulate things, don't we? And you get a new one, and what do? Do you throw out the old one? No, because, you know, might need it sometime. I'm not going to get rid of that one. If I see something better, I'm going to buy it and keep the old one. As soon as I lose something, what's the thought? As soon as we ruin something or lose something, what do we do? Got to replace it. It doesn't even cross my mind. Did I actually need that? Was I using it anymore? My kid broke it. Got to buy a new one. Just have to. That's just how we work. We accumulate stuff. We accumulate things. We accumulate money. We never have enough, and so we always want more. And if you look around honestly at your life, I mean, maybe it's not true in every area of all of our lives, but to think about some areas of your life, isn't it true that if you looked in your closet or in that room or in your garage or wherever you keep your stuff or in your bank or wherever, that we probably have too much, like more than we need? Like when putting on clothes becomes, you know, a long conversation with yourself, isn't that because we have too much? We have more than we need. There's something in our flesh that wants more, that's greedy, that's just part of kind of who we are. I want more, I want more, I want more. And then ads and stores feed that, and they help us realize how much more we could have and how much more we actually do need. And so we just become these consumption machines, and we hold on to what we have, and it's hard to give stuff away because what do you think when you're going to give something away? Even if it's something you've never used for a long time, you know, you get that yellow bag, and you're supposed to fill it up and put it on the curb on Tuesdays, and that's our day. And what do you think when you've, it's like, oh, but what if I need this? Yeah, when was the last time I used it? Like 3 years ago, but it's coming around again. I might need that. Maybe next time. Yeah, they'll come back next month. And see, the problem is, okay, before we get to the problem, let me just ask you, you probably already thought this through, but in what part of your life do you store up things, money, whatever it is for you? And see, no matter what it is or how good it is or how much we justify it, what Jesus says in verse 21 is true for us. We put our hearts in whatever we store up. We put our hearts there. They get into our hearts. We love whatever we store up. And isn't that the definition of an idol? It's something that we love. It's something that we put in the center of our hearts. So when I accumulate money and possessions, They end up getting into the center of my heart. We love whatever we store up. Whatever we store up becomes our treasure. And as we store up money and possessions, what Jesus is saying, and I know there's verses about being wise and saving, and this doesn't, it's just looking at what Jesus is saying right now in this verse, when as we store up stuff and money, we are in effect, according to what Jesus says in verse 21, we are raising up an idol, our own idol, in the same way that in the Old Testament days, people would actually cut down a tree and build an idol and raise up an idol, build a golden calf. We are raising up our own God. And as we do that, we are, when I buy another guitar, which after this sermon, I can't, but if when I buy another guitar, what am I doing? I'm telling myself, love that, worship that. Yeah, I'm building my idol for myself, and then I obey myself, and I worship whatever I've built up for myself. And we know we love it, we know we worship it, because, well, we search for our joy in the stuff that we accumulate. We think that I'll be happy. We know in our head we won't, but in our heart something tells me that if I can just get that, I'll be happy. If I can just get this other thing, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied when I have done this and accumulated this, and when there's a certain amount in the bank, and when I've gotten this other thing. This I love the car I have, but if I get another one, I'm not going to get rid of this one. But if I get another one, then I will be satisfied. I'll be content. Our purpose in life then becomes getting more. If I could just get more, that gives me purpose. So then what makes me feel alive every day when I get up? It's I got to get more. I know because that was going to make me happy, so I need to get some more of it. That gives me purpose. It gives me a reason for living. And I know that I will feel more complete and safe and secure and more complete as a person and more worthy and valuable when I just get up to this level, when I can get that thing. People will look at me differently. That's because we look to our idols to satisfy us. And what Jesus is telling us in this text is money and things are a bad God. Money and things are a bad God. They're a bad God first and mainly because they capture our hearts. They capture our thoughts and our love and our desires and our affections. And now I'm not thinking about anything other than when is my birthday? And what could I just, you know, what can I ask for that wouldn't be over the top and that will make me happy? When that captures our thoughts and our love and it takes God's place in our hearts. Our false God isn't bad in that because it's in our hearts. It's bad because it's in our hearts and because it's at the center of our hearts. It's pushed something else out of the center of our hearts. And that something else is the true God of the universe. So the love that I give to my guitar collection is love that God says, you should be giving that to me. I should be at the center of your heart. That should just be like an ancillary thing there in your life that, yeah, you play them and you enjoy it and that's beautiful. It's a gift from me to you. But it shouldn't be at the center of your heart. You shouldn't worship that. That's why money and things are a bad God, is because as they get into our hearts, as we accumulate them and they get into our hearts, they push the true God out of our hearts. And that is a tragedy. That is us worshiping an idol instead of worshiping the true God. And Jesus gives us other reasons why money is a bad God, more practical reasons, if you will, even though idol worship is the biggest practical reason, but Jesus says it doesn't last. No matter what you get, it's not going to last for forever. In fact, the day that you leave this world will be the day that everything that you've accumulated will stop mattering. It doesn't last. That's another reason why it's a bad God. You could lose it because of moth and rust and thieves. Although we have insurance for all that stuff, but bad decisions, the market, things you can't insure against. You can lose everything you have, everything that you've accumulated in a blink of an eye. It's a bad God. It doesn't last, and it doesn't give us the joy that we desire from it. We think that if I just get this, I'll be happy, even though in our minds, if we thought about it logically, we would know, I won't be happy. I won't be happy because every time that you get something else and you get that other, whatever, if it's $1,000 for you, $100 for you, or $10,000, $100,000, whatever that next thing is that you have in the bank, It doesn't make you happier. It makes me what? Empty. I feel empty for a moment. And what do I replace that empty feeling with? Got to get the next thing. That'll make me happy. It doesn't make us happy. It's a bad God. It doesn't make me satisfied, because no matter how much I get, you know how it is. If you've lived for long enough, you don't have to live for very long to know this. My little boys with their Legos know it. No matter how much they get, there's never enough. They literally have a room full of Legos. They barely have room to sleep. I'm exaggerating a tiny little bit. Tons of Legos. Like, as if I put myself in the mind of a little child, like when I was their age, I'm incredibly jealous of them. And it's never enough, because every time we go to Walmart, what, can we go buy the Legos? It's no matter how much you get, it's never enough. There's always more. And we seek our purpose in getting more, but we know that's empty. It never truly fulfills us, because no matter how much we get, we leave it behind. Accumulating is in the truest sense of the word, like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it's vanity. It doesn't matter. Once you're gone, all the stuff you have, it doesn't matter anymore. We look for security and being complete in our stuff because it's our idol. But we're never truly satisfied, because we never truly have enough. We always know that there's more we could have. We always end up feeling unsatisfied, insecure, yet incomplete. So if money and possessions are a bad God, what should we do? And Jesus gives us the solution. Look at verse 19. Don't store up treasures on earth. And then in verse 20, store up treasures in heaven. I think if I could consolidate that down to one overriding statement, it would be: solution to money and things being a bad God and what we accumulate getting into our hearts, we should worship God and not our stuff. We should worship God instead of storing up stuff. We should worship God and not money. I think the answer to our idolatry is found, just like the idea of idolatry is back at the beginning. Also back at the beginning, go back to Exodus 20 again. Read verse 5 with me, if you would. This is the solution to our idolatry. This is what Jesus is saying in a very practical way. Exodus 20, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The way that we worship God, love God, instead of money and things, is not trying to love money and things less. It's loving God more. It's putting God in the center of our hearts. And as He fills the center of our hearts, everything else gets pushed to the edge, as it should be. That's the solution for idolatry. It's worshiping God more. So in practical terms, how do we worship God instead of money? Jesus doesn't say it here, but we need to say it. We worship God instead of money, first of all, by receiving His generosity and entering into His family. If you're sitting here this morning and you're listening to this and you say, okay, so for me, the solution is I need to not lay up treasures on earth. I need to lay up treasures in heaven. I need to worship God and not money. So I need to, I'm going to have to do something practical with my money. But if you've never made the decision to become God's child, to receive His generosity, to repent and be baptized and give yourself to the Lord, to tell Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, the boss of my life and my Lord, the Savior and the one who tells me what to do. I want to give myself to you. If you've never done that, then doing something different with your money won't change anything eternally for you. But giving yourself to God and making the decision to surrender to Him will. It will put Him at the center of your heart, and it will start putting everything else, including your possessions and your money, to the edge of your heart. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision to surrender yourself to Jesus, just tell someone, and you can be walked through that process of giving yourself to Him. If you say, okay, I've already done that. I've told God He's at the center, but listening to this, I know my stuff fights to be at the center of my heart. What do I do practically speaking? And this is where what Jesus says helps us very practically. He starts out, don't lay up, store up, accumulate treasures on earth. And see, the way I think, In order to truly hear what Jesus is saying, I have to, for a moment, stop all the voices that say, yes, but what about being prudent? And yes, what about having that little fund for, emergency fund? Nothing bad with that. No, what about this? What about that? I just need to quiet all those voices and listen to what Jesus is clearly saying here. He's saying, don't store up. That's how you worship God and not money. Don't stop storing stuff up for yourself. We have to learn how to say things like, I have enough. I'm not going to buy that. I don't need that. We need to start learning how to ask ourselves, not can I afford that, but do I need that? We need to start asking ourselves things like, am I really going to use that? We need to stop buying things just to have more. We need to follow what Jesus says, to worship God and not money by what Jesus says. We need to stop investing so much in our lives and in our kingdoms. I need to stop investing so much of my time and my money and my resources in me and in my stuff, in my savings and my property and my things. I need to stop doing that. And the flip side of that, to worship God and not money, Jesus says in verse 20, I need to lay up treasures in heaven. What is he saying? Be generous with your money and your stuff. Give it away. The easiest way to not accumulate, well, you could stop working, but that I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm pretty sure, definitely sure, not what he's saying. How do I not accumulate? I give it away. I give instead of storing up. I give things and money to other people. I become a radically generous person. Even as I'm saying this, I'm like, oh, we should have skipped over this part. I don't like this application, but this is what Jesus is saying. Don't store up for yourself, but store up treasures in heaven. So give away your stuff here. It's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, where he says, he just takes for granted his followers would be generous people and give to needy people. So I should go around looking for opportunities to give to people who have needs. I should give my money and my stuff away to other people. I should give my money and my stuff to the kingdom of God, to helping other people come to know Jesus, whether that's paying for mission trips for other people or funding projects or helping start churches or keeping church going or whatever it is, whatever kingdom opportunities come before me, I should use my stuff to fund that instead of just storing it up for myself. When we do that, a couple things happen. One is, this isn't in the text, but it just happens. Money never becomes an obstacle to God's people doing what God wants them to do, because God's people are supposed to be radically generous, not store up for themselves, store up treasures in heaven. So we're supposed to just radically do the stuff that God wants us to do, and money is never an obstacle when we do that. And when we do that, Jesus says, we will have treasure in heaven. The more that I hold, the less that I hold on to here on earth, the less that I keep for myself, the more that I give away to other people and to the kingdom, the more that I let go out of my hands instead of keep it for myself, the more treasure I will have in heaven, more reward from my Father, the more that when I stand before him, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't hold on to it all for yourself. You gave it away to other people. The more people will be in heaven because we used our money to build God's kingdom and to help get people there. And I think this is implied. Jesus doesn't say it directly, but I think it's implied in verse 21. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When I worship God with my money instead of worshiping my money and my things, God becomes what's at the center of my heart. The less that I hold on to and the more that I give away, the more that I put God in the center of my heart, and the more that I truly worship the King of the universe, as I'm radically generous, as I stop worshiping stuff and accumulating, the more that I love and worship the true God. So, what should we do? What's your next step to worshiping God more and less what you have, your money and your possessions? Or here's an even more pointed question. How can you give away what you've been storing up? Why don't we stand? Why don't we sing after we pray? Dear God, we come to you. We thank you because you are good. when we listen to words that you spoke that tell us how to be generous like this, everything within us just tightens up when we say, where's the exception? Surely that doesn't mean that. That doesn't apply to this area of my life, does it? Look, God, I pray that we would end now as we started by remembering your generosity and how good you are and have been to us, how you never leave us nor forsake us, how you are our provider. And the same one who tells us to be generous has also said that you will provide for us. So we pray that you would help us to trust in you and to obey you by being radically generous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.